Welcome back to the Northeast Newscast. On this week's episode, we're joined by Nourish KC Community Kitchen and Other Services Executive Director Mandy Jean Rutter. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So it's an exciting time to be here at Nourish KC. I mean, you have so much going on between your community kitchen, your food pantry, food rescue. There's a lot to talk about. Let's dive in at 8th and Paseo, the people down there working to feed people at the community kitchen every single day. At 750 the Paseo Boulevard in the lower level of the downtown community service center is your Kansas City Community Kitchen. Tell me a little bit about what goes on there.
That's a great question. So the Kansas City Community Kitchen has been on 8th and Paseo for just over 13 years now. Downtown Council owns our building. We've been in partnership with them through this time. And the kitchen is really, it was put there strategically to offer services to a majority of our unhoused community. And if you're familiar with that area of the city, you know that that's where a lot of our shelters are. There's a lot of service providers in that area for our unhoused community. So it's a convenient place for people to be able to come and access food without needing to get on a bus or travel far distances just to access a meal.
So the community kitchen is run a little differently than a traditional soup kitchen. You know, people are greeted, they get to sit down and have a meal like they were in a restaurant.
Yeah.
What's your intention behind that?
The intention is just to provide a comfortable space for anyone to come in and access a meal. When you find yourself in a situation of dealing with food insecurity, the idea of asking for help can be very hard. And admitting that you need something as basic as a meal, it can cause a lot of barriers for people. There are times where people, don't want to ask for help. And so they don't want to go stand in a line at a soup kitchen. They would rather go hungry and, try and stand on a corner and get some money so that they can buy their own meal versus going somewhere and having to have an uncomfortable encounter with someone that's, dishing you a meal over a line. So the way that we do it restaurant style, people can come into the kitchen. They're greeted by a host. We are a zero barrier, no questions asked facility. And so we don't collect any demographic information. We do a general count for ourselves on an estimate of age range. It's basically under 18, 18 to 65, 65 and older. It's purely a guess. We're not asking people, but it helps us kind of get a general idea of how many people are coming through our doors each day. And then once people come in, they're seated at a table and then they are served by our volunteers that come in. We often have multiple options for people to choose from. We're very mindful of people's dietary needs. The community that we're in, there's a lot of people in that area that don't eat pork. So we always make sure if there is pork on the menu that there is another option that people can have, just, either dietary or religious based. We always want to be mindful of that. So people are seated and they're served a meal. They're welcome to stay as long as they would like. We don't kick people out. We don't ask them to leave. We want it to be a comfortable space where people can come and feel safe and feel like they are in their own house or their own kitchen.
And so the community kitchen is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. How many meals do you serve during that time?
That question is ever changing. In January, we were doing anywhere from 300 to 400 meals a day. And in May, we were doing 600 to 800. We had, it's grown a lot. We don't turn anyone away. If anyone needs a meal, even if we run out of food, we are in the back throwing something together. Because as long as that door is open until 2 p.m., we are ensuring that people get a meal. There was one day, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, where we did 854 meals in one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a huge need to fill.
Yes.
And, tell me a little bit about your staff that works there and makes that possible.
Yes.
Every day.
They are amazing. They are rock stars. We have people that have been with us from 17 years and on. Our food rescue driver is the one out in our van who's driving around and going to all of the restaurants and all of the grocery stores and distribution centers and picking up all that food. It comes back to the kitchen. We process through what we need. And then whatever we don't need in the kitchen goes back out to our pantry partners. We only keep about 30% of the food that we rescue. And In 2022, we did 521,000 pounds of food,
Wow.
just over, with one driver and one van.
That's impressive.
He is a rock star. He's been with us 17 years. The other staff in the kitchen, I mean, they just truly love what they do. We have a gentleman who's been with us 14 years, who's our ambassador. He is very knowledgeable of the history and was around during the transition from when we were at Grace and Holy Cathedral in Founders Hall to when we moved to where we are at 8th and Paseo. Mama Linda is our front of the house manager who, she knows everybody's name. She knows all their stories. She knows everything about them. The knowledge that she carries just always blows me away. And then we have a gentleman in the kitchen who's one of our chefs that has experience being in-house. And so he's very mindful of what we're putting into our food. And we're making sure that, we're considering things like dietary restrictions or religious needs, or during Lent we serve fish on Fridays, and he's always thinking about the community and what we can do to ensure that we're being respectful of the people that come into our doors.
That's really awesome. And it's not something you see very often when so often homeless services are one size fits all and you get what you get if you get anything. So it's cool to see even things like that being taken into consideration.
When I joined Nourish KC, my first thing I kept saying was, we need to adapt the mentality of people first and full belly second. Because without people, and that's not only the people that we serve, that's our staff, that's our board members, that's our volunteers, that's everybody. We have to put everyone first, and then we have to, do what we can to feed people. But people first is definitely where our heart is.
So, a lot of the coverage we've done about the community kitchen, at least in the past few years, has been letting people know when you have to shut down for COVID, things like that. How has it been coming out of the pandemic, needing to serve even more meals?
Prior to the pandemic, we were only a dine-in facility. So if you needed a meal, you would come in, you would sit down, and you would be served a meal. During COVID, obviously, we had to close down, and we were doing to-go meals. And people would come to the kitchen, to the door, they were handed a meal, and they would, go on with their day. Coming out of COVID, there were a lot of people that started coming that weren't necessarily from the unhoused community, but were looking to kind of alleviate some of their own food insecurities. People that live in the area, we were having construction workers that were working in the area that would come and grab a lunch because it was quick and convenient. And so we really got into this habit of doing to-go meals. And then when we came out of COVID, the question was, okay, we have, all these people that are used to being able to take a meal back to their house, back to their families, back to work, back to a camp, or on their, eat something on the way to a shelter. How do we want to keep that up? Do we want to go backwards, and do we want to not do to-go meals and encourage dine-in, or do we want to continue it on? We have decided to continue on serving to-go meals. Our hope and our wish is always come and dine with us and sit down and, have a meal at our table. But if someone's needing to catch the bus or if they're heading off to work, they can come in the kitchen and grab a to-go. So that was really a shift for us. I would say the majority of our daily meals are to-goes at this point. We're doing about 200 dine-in, sometimes a little bit more, and then the remainder of those are to-go meals for people. There was a day we had, 854 meals that went out of the kitchen. Out of those, 662 were to-goes. And it's just because people, and I see a lot of that in like families that are trying to, take four home so that they can feed their kids in the evening, or people that are work in the office spaces that are swinging by and grabbing 20 meals that they're taking back to, their people. It's definitely grown and changed, and we don't necessarily want to be a to-go facility, but we also want to do what we can to alleviate anyone's food insecurity.
Sure. So tell me more about the food rescue. After you've used up what you can in the kitchen, what happens to that and how is it available to people?
That's a really good question. So, food rescue, we work with, restaurant partners and distribution centers and grocery stores. and we do daily pickups. What sets us apart from other organizations in Kansas City that do food rescue is that we do not warehouse anything. So when we do a pickup, that is either going directly to a food pantry partner, or it's coming to our facility at 8th and Paseo, where we're processing through, taking what we need for, you know, the week or that day. And then whatever we don't use is then going back out to our pantry partners. We have 14 pantry partners right now over four counties. And in 2022, about 70% of the food that we rescued went out to our pantry partners. So it's just over 365,000 pounds.
That's great. And it provides the fresh produce, things like that, to food pantries. And I feel like you don't often see that, especially around Northeast. I feel like a lot of them are canned goods, shelf stable things that are necessary, obviously, but maybe you're lacking some of those fresher nutrients.
Absolutely. We definitely try and push as much fresh produce as we can. We obviously do get canned items or frozen meals that come in, but sometimes those are just supplemental to the fresh produce that people can grab.
It's time to take a break to thank our sponsors. Shemeika's Online Market in Delhi, offering catering and nationwide shipping at shemeikasonline.com. Find their new deli at 16th and Swift in North Kansas City. Shemeika's, where customers become friends and friends become family.
From classics to campers, hot rods to hoopties, Seberg Muffler, your exhaust headquarters since 1974. Armor Road in Burlington in North Kansas City, Missouri.
And now back to the newscast.
So upstairs from the community kitchen, there is a lot of great new services centered there, right there in the neighborhood. Tell me about those.
Yeah. So the building there at 8th and Paseo, we're obviously on the basement floor and the upstairs. The whole building we're calling the Beehive. And this concept was really born out of COVID. And during the harsh winter that we had, where we had the pop-up warming center at Bartle Hall, Downtown Council and a lot of the service providers were really going out and literally getting people out of the snow and bringing them somewhere where they could be warm. And that during that time, all of these service providers were coming to Bartle Hall and were working directly with people one-on-one. And in one day, someone could see someone about housing, about vital records, about medical. And everybody just kind of sat back and watched all this happen and thought, oh my gosh, like, people can get through this system, this cycle, so much quicker when they have access to things in one place versus needing to get on a bus and go a mile one way. And then from there, go two more miles to the next place. And then now you have to walk six blocks to the next place. KC doesn't have a really good public transit system. And so being able to really kind of bring everything under one roof was seeing that and seeing the impact was like how this idea came to be. So the Beehive has been a two-year endeavor and just launched in June. We did a soft launch, soft opening in January, and then the official was back in June. And that space, the kind of the core group that is overseeing this is obviously Downtown Council. They're the ones that went out and spearheaded funding to make this happen and to do all the renovations of the building and to bring the partners together. The Greater Kansas City Coalition to End Homelessness, which is offering support for housing. They also kind of help liaison a little bit with like vital records where people can go if they need a birth certificate or social security card. And then Care Beyond the Boulevard is offering medical services and dental services. We are trying to expand our availabilities upstairs. Right now we're open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and it's no appointment needed. Anyone can walk in and anyone can get, you know, walk in and say, I need to see someone in medical, or I have a toothache, I need to see somebody in dental, or I need to get an update on where I am with, you know, my housing. It allows for our guests that come in, our clients that come in to not have any other barriers. You know, if you don't have a phone, if you don't have a watch, if you don't have a way to track time or day, getting set an appointment, you know, an appointment card is great, but who's to say you're going to be able to show up at that time on that date? So removing that and being able to say, come whenever you can, has just opened so many doors for people to feel like they're able to access those services easily, which is, it's been really great. And the reason why the Beehive is where it is really because Nourish KC has an established footprint in the basement space. So people come in, we try and always ask, you know, when's the last time you had a meal? Sometimes when you're dealing with medical issues and housing issues and all these other things, but you're hungry, trying to manage all of that is just, you can't even think about anything else because you haven't had a meal in 2 days. So being able to feed people through that process and get people in has really kind of created this system where we're able to support people in more ways than just, you know, offering one service over the other. And that's what's really setting Kansas City apart in terms of human services right now, you know, the collaboration part of it. A lot of times you'll see organizations that will try and take on everything. And, you know, they'll start by feeding people and then they'll see the need for housing assistance and they'll see the need for medical and they'll see the need for clothing or they'll see the need and they'll want to bring it all, you know, they'll want to do it all because you want to help people. But the reality is you can't always do it all. And right. So one of the gals, KK, who is the head of Care Beyond the Boulevard, she put this so well and it just always sticks out in my mind. She said, you know, if we can each just stay in our lane and do what we do really well, and partner with people that do what they do really well, we're going to be able to uplift and support our community better than if we each try and do that individually on our own. You know, homelessness is never something that's going to go away. As long as we have people, there's going to be this issue of homelessness. But what we can hopefully do through this type of initiative is reduce the life cycle. And instead of having people that have been on the street for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years for that matter, we can work together to make sure that it's dropping to maybe 2 years. That would be a hope and a goal out of this. And the Beehive space is second in the nation to be doing this type of work. So we're very proud of it. We're really excited about everything to come.
That's so great. And that's something I've been hearing from nonprofit homeless service providers for a couple years, is that in the decades prior, there wasn't that collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was COVID or people finally just talking to each other, but it seems to finally be happening in really big ways. I know I spent an afternoon over at the Beehive with my neighbor, Patricia Hernandez, and she was talking to me about, I mean, we both live in the community. We mm-hmm. see it every single day. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like this is a step toward a solution. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, homelessness is not just going to disappear. It's not just going to go away. But there are ways we can make it easier on people.
Yep, absolutely. That is the goal. Patricia has been doing amazing work over at the Beehive, and she's such a rock star for our community. I just have to give her a little shout out because I love her. But that is the goal. That's the goal, is to offer people services in a convenient space and place that can essentially help people, you know, through that life cycle quicker.
So Nourish KC has been around for 35 years. Mm-hmm. What has changed in that time? And, you know, what's kind of your vision for the future?
That's a great question. Obviously, Nourish KC has changed a lot over the years. We were born out of Grace and Holy Cathedral in 1989. And it was just seeing a need from one gentleman at the church, where there was one gentleman outside and he grabbed a hot plate and made a meal. And before he knew it, they were serving hundreds of meals out of the church. And the church said, oh my gosh, we need to do something about this. So then they opened Founders Hall, and it was Episcopal Community Services at that point. And it just kept growing and the need kept growing. And then as downtown was changing and the revitalizations were going on, and downtown council really kind of took over, working hand in hand with businesses to kind of address some of the needs with the human services side of things in the community. That's when we branched off to being Nourish KC and became our own independent organization and moved over to 8th and Paseo and started the Kansas City Community Kitchen there. So it's definitely, there's been a lot of change. In the past, we have had leaders that tried to take on more, that wanted to offer, you know, all kinds of different services. And it just got to the point where, you know, especially with COVID, you really have to kind of evaluate, go back to that idea of like, we should stay in our lane and do what we do really well. And so that's kind of where we are now, is our lane is to feed people. And it's people first, full belly second, always. We want to partner with people in the community that can uplift and support our guests in other ways that maybe we can't. But we can be a catalyst for that. I can't tell you how many times I'm in the kitchen and someone comes up to me and it's like, I'm trying to get a hold of my caseworker. And I pick up my phone and say, let me make a call. Or here's the date and time they're going to be here. You need to be here back here on this day. Come back tomorrow. Or anything. I mean, there's just so many opportunities and instances of being able to step in and help and being able to make calls. We get people that come in the kitchen all the time that say, I'm 1 week into being unhoused. What do I do? And we can immediately say, here's the pathway. Here's the person you need to call, or we're going to call somebody to come and sit with you and talk you through this. And being on the ground level really helps. So I think that that type of collaboration and community, not only with our guests, but with our partner organizations, is really important. For me, my vision for Nourish KC is that we can get to a point where we are serving 7 days a week. The thing about food insecurity and where we are in terms of feeding people in the community, if you really look at what's available in terms of food, there are very, very minimal options for dinner. And that's been the one thing that, as soon as I realized the lack of access for evening meals, it became my obsession. Like, I want to launch a dinner program at Nourish KC. We've done breakfast in the past, which is great. Other organizations in the area, like Hope Faith, they have breakfast, they have lunch, which gives people options, which is great, but nobody's serving dinner. And so, I would really like for Nourish to get to a point where we can do that. The hope for the Beehive is that we can also have services open into the evenings as well. And so being able to offer food, you know, along with that time, not only uplifts our community of people that need access to a dinner meal, but it also helps with bringing people into the building for all of our service providers upstairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my goal.
Those are big goals, but I love them. If people are interested in volunteering with Nourish KC, are there ways to do that?
Absolutely. You can go to our website. There's a volunteer tab on our website that kind of talks through the two different options that we have for volunteering during the day. We also have a Saturday, like a weekend shift, where we ask people that have vehicles or trucks if they want to help with food rescue. They can, you know, drive around and stop by a grocery store and do a pickup for us, which is really helpful. We always need food rescue volunteers. During the days, we have a prep shift volunteer opportunity in the mornings where people can come in and help, you know, prep salads or chop fruit or vegetables. And then the lunch service volunteer shift is really like that actual service. So plating meals or being an unofficial server, being in the dining room and picking up a meal and handing it to someone and delivering them a water. Or, you know, this week we've had cakes in for the holiday. So, you know, cutting cakes and passing cakes out to people. So it's a great opportunity for people to come in. Children can come in 10 and older. Kids that are 14 and older do not need to be supervised. Under 14, we do ask for, you know, a parent or guardian to be there with them. And we also take groups as well. During our lunch shift, we can take up to groups of 15 that want to come in. So yeah, we always take volunteers.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity to help out, especially if you're, you know, different options for whatever type of volunteering you want to do. And your website is nourishkc.org, and people can also find a link to donate there as well.
Absolutely. We live off of donations, so yes, please.
Wrapping it up, what is the most important thing that people should take away from Nourish KC?
What is the most important thing? I think the most important thing that I would say is that we really do believe that food is a basic human right. And our goal is to do whatever we can to ease the burdens of food insecurity. So if it's our food pantries that we are partnering with, if it's the work that we're doing through our partners at the Beehive, if it's guests that come into our kitchen, that's really our goal, is to make sure that people are fed and that they have access to a healthy, nutritious meal.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.